Thank you, Pastor Brent, for focusing in on the Word of God and what we're going to be talking about today. Before I begin, though, let me encourage you, Ray, want to encourage you to make sure your Pastor and Welcome folder's down. If you haven't already, go ahead and pass those down, fill those out. So Pastor Brent drew us to the Word of God as he was going through and lifting up our hearts before the Lord and praying about us living for Christ in the midst of hard things. And he prayed about not only in prosperity do we need to thank the Lord for, but thanks the Lord for the things that are going in our life that change us, transform us, you know, that shape us to be more Christ-like, those kind of things. It's good to pray God's word, isn't it? It's good to be in our hearts to go before the Lord and lift up the word of God as we pray to God, knowing that God's truth is going to form and shape our lives, going to form and shape who we are in Christ. It's going to form and shape the way we see the things we want in the world, and we pray for God to intervene in the hard things going on, and certainly all of us have a compassion for that. So as we dig into the truth of God's word this morning, let me have you open up your Bibles to the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians. The third chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Go ahead and open up your Bibles there for part two of a series of messages I have entitled Find Out About Your Faith. And that's what we looked at last week. And I'm going to encourage you again. I'll say it more and more. I'll say it all the time. I'm kind of a repeating kind of guy sometimes in those kind of things. So Paul is, they laughed at me. Did you get that? Because it's true, right? Amen, right? But anyway, you know, Paul, wanting to find out what was going on in Thessalonica, sends Timothy to find out about their faith. So what we're doing is we're applying God's word. We're all asking ourselves, let's find out about our faith. Where are we at with the Lord and the things as we're looking at through the word of God? Last week, we began to look at the first five verses of this chapter. We noted that the Apostle Paul had sent Timothy to find out about their faith, Thessalonica. Paul was run out of town through persecution some 8 months or so ago. They ran him out of town with persecution after he had established this church. He had discipled them so that they would walk in a manner worthy of the God who called them into God's own kingdom and glory. That's chapter 2, verse 12. He discipled them and he wanted them to do that. They had a faith in God's truth that worked to live for Christ, to share the gospel, to serve the Lord's church. Remember the testimony? We went over it in chapters 1 and 2. This church was flourishing from their testimony. They had a strength or steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a love that labored to love God, his word, love each other, to love the lost. It caused them to endure, to remain faithful in the Lord, to live for the Lord, to become imitators of the Lord, to become examples of all believers. You guys remember their testimony from last week? You could read chapter 1 and chapter 2, and you see this testimony, strong testimony of that they were the Lord's church. The word of the Lord was sounding forth from them throughout their community. They had received the word of God as the word of God, and they were continually receiving the word of God as the word of God. And the results were sanctification was taking place, even amidst the tribulation. They were changing and growing, and it inspired or brought to the heart of those that served them a joy of exaltation to the hearts of those that were a part of their life. This is to be the testimony of the Lord's church. If you remember, when we preached chapter 1, we went and studied that. We said the marks are the testimony of the Lord's church. And we looked at it, and it was an exemplary church. And every commentator said that, man, this is a good church. This is an exemplary church. All these kind of things they talked about. But as established as they were in their faith, Paul sends Timothy because he's concerned about their faith, their trust, their belief in God's truth being weakened or shaken. Them being pushed off serving Christ, them being pushed off their conviction to God's truth, them being moved away from a strong conviction to live for Christ in every relationship. We talked about many things like that. The Apostle Paul has learned that false teaching comes against the Lord's church, along with suffering, persecution, tribulation, pressures, or squeezings from affliction, along with the temptations of the flesh, from the tempter to gratify our flesh. And that's what Paul's concerned about. That these things would shake their commitment to God's truth. He seeks to find out about their faith. The Apostle Paul has learned. He's in Corinth right now. He's learned all these kind of things as he's started a church and then discipled the church and then went back and appointed elders to the church. We just read in Sunday school in Acts when he did at Ephesians, spent a few years with them, maybe up to three. He's leaving them and he says, you got to be aware. You got to be on guard. You got to pay attention. Things come against God's truth. They come against us to where we're going to compromise. That's what he's worried about. As you look at your outline, look at the top of your outline. The faith he's talking about is not faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We already looked at their testimony. They have it. They're God's chosen people. The power of God has come not only in word only, but in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. The faith that Paul is wanting to find out about is their conviction to the truth, their belief in the truth of God's word concerning the life we are to live in Christ, concerning the continued pursuit to becoming more and more Christ-like, and their sharing of the true gospel. That's his concern. That's my concern for the church family. It's our concern, right? We talked about parents. We talked about spouses. We talked about all those kind of different relationships we had. It's our concern is that we would remain faithful to the Word of God and keep moving forward and pursuing Christ-likeness and standing up and sharing the true gospel. It's God's concern. It's our concern. It's Paul's concern. That the conviction to God's truth that shapes the way we are to live, that guides what you are to live for, that leads the purpose of our life, would remain in a firm persuasion in regards to that. That's Paul's concern. Hard things come into life and we kind of move away from that. The flesh is drawn away from that. We're going to look at that today and kind of study that. This is the reality of Christianity. This is reality of walking with Christ. Yes, we're going to persevere. Yes, we're going to keep going because of the new life we have in Christ. The perseverance of the saints is guaranteed by God and his power to work in our lives. But when Paul said in here, you know, I was worried about my labor would be in vain. It's the discipleship growing you, your faith in the Lord continually, that it would be in vain, that it would be 25 years for you to get 1 year down the road in serving the Lord. Any pastor would say, yeah, it seems like all my preaching was meaningless. And all my teaching and all my discipleship. Yes, God's going to take care of it and all that, but he's talking about the here and now and how we live our life. It matters today. It matters to God. It matters to the pastors. It matters to elders. It matters to parents. Parents, you want your kids to kind of figure this out when they're 35? All that labor that you did, all of that, yes, God may use it. And you would say, but in the midst of from 12 to 35, you would see, gosh, this has kind of been in vain, hasn't it? But I got to trust the Lord. But that labor would be like that. That's what Paul is talking about. So we're looking right at our own lives, right? That's what we're to do with the Word of God. We understand what he says, what he meant, how it applies to our life. And that's what we want to do. We're digging in that way. We're doing that. We're going to look at some amazing things today as we work our way through this. This is what Paul is wanting us to understand. So let's read our text and what God's Word is wanting us to understand also. And let's read our text, pull it apart again. Look with me, chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. And then we'll dig into it for a second time. Here Paul writes, therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed we were with you. When we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we are going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, when I could not endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. So from Paul, the text, Paul's concern is that the afflictions of life, the temptations to the flesh, to live for self-gratification, will change their convictions to all the truth of God's word. They'll alter them. They'll cause them to be shaken from living God's truth. For some of them, it might cause shipwreck in their faith. And trusting God's word. That's why I'm encouraging and exhorting us all to find out about our faith as we do this. Has affliction caused you to move away from your confidence in God's truth? That's a good question to answer, isn't it? Has the tempter come and tempted your flesh to compromise the truth of God's word or the truth of the gospel? For it became more about you being gratified than you honoring the Lord? Has the tempter caused you to move away from your obedience to God's truth? That's Paul's concern. It's mine. It's ours. Amen? We want to live for the Lord. And this is a life. Here's the truth. Let me read this to you. Here's the truth. Affliction and temptation at times has caused all of us to move away from a current firm confidence in God's truth, the truth of God's word, and obedience to God's word. Affliction and temptation has caused us all at times to move away from that. It already has. But in your walk with the Lord, by his word, through the work of the Holy Spirit and the encouragement of others, we have repented and moved back to become back even more confident and more obedient in the word of God. That's called sanctification, you guys. That's what God is doing in our lives. We recognize, whoa, these things came and I kind of moved away. I can give you lots of testimonies in my own life. I'm sure you guys can too. To where some things came in your life. You compromised what God said and living it or sharing Christ. All of the things we've been talking about. And then through repentance, through the word of God, through repentance and faith, through trusting in God, through repenting and turning back, going a different direction, God has worked. And now you have more confidence, more conviction in the truth of God's word, more Christ-likeness in your life. It's called sanctification, becoming more and more Christ-like. This is going on in the believer's life. So let's not fall apart when you look at your faith and say, well, yeah, I kind of have. Yeah, that's where we're going to need to repent and change and grow. Paul doesn't know what he's going to need to address. We haven't got to the answer yet. What did he find was there? We're going to look at that next week. Whatever he found, he was going to address it in the Word of God. Whatever he found, he's going to encourage or strengthen or admonish, or he's going to do whatever from the Word of God and God's truth, whatever he found. All of us are in the process of somewhere of sanctification. Paul doesn't know, like I said, what he might need to address, but we do, don't we? Anybody in the room don't know what you need to address? Anybody like, I don't have any idea what I need to do in my life. You know, I don't have any idea. I don't know if I'm living for Lord. I don't know if I am or aren't. I don't know. I don't know if I've moved anywhere or not. Well, I'm going to encourage you to work on your relationship with the Lord, obedience to your truth. Holy Spirit will help you. Are we more confident or less confident in God's truth with the things going on in the world? Are we more and more Christ-like living or not? Are we more and more obedient to God's word or less? I'm in the process, right? Remember, that way's more, right? Become more Christ-like, right? Help me, don't let me get it wrong, because I point, we're going that way, right? And let me remind you of the two focuses we've been looking at so we can apply this, you know, to our lives, of your conviction of faith or your trust in God's word and continued obedience to God's word. It's two areas we kind of focused on. One, becoming more Christ-like in your living and helping others become Christ-like in your living. Where are you at there? As you say, I'm going to examine my faith. I'm going to find out about my faith. Where are you in becoming more and more Christ-like in your living and to help others in your Christ-like living? And where are you in sharing the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? God's word instructs us fully and deeply in these two areas, in what we are to be believing with firm persuasion and what we are to be acting upon with firm persuasion. And what we are going to do to be finding out about our faith is are we going to be living out our pursuit of Christ-like living? Are we going to be living out the sharing of the gospel according to God's word? Or is affliction or temptation going to move us away or deceive us from that? Pretty simple, isn't it? It's pretty simple what he's talking about. Paul went to find out. He's just like, hey, are they growing in the Lord? Do they keep maturing in the Lord? Are they growing stronger in this? Or has the enemy come in? Has temptation come in? Has afflictions? He's really worried about the hard things of life, persecution. People don't like you. They didn't like them. They lose out on, remember, affliction, oppression, oppressive state of your mind, of your physicalness, of your social status, and your economic status. Afflictions do that. When you stand for Christ and they come against you, you stand for the Lord, you share the true gospel, what's going on at Thessalonica, they're doing that, and they're having an oppressive state of physicalness. Their life's in jeopardy. Look at Ukraine. That's exactly what's going on. That's called an affliction in the world. And if they stand for the Lord, there's going to be an oppressive state to their physicality. Anybody agree with that? How about their economic status? Right? How about their mind? Their mind's got to be having a real hard time right now. How about their society that they live in, their social status, right? And their conviction before the Lord is that we're going to stay in Ukraine, we're going to live Christ-like lives, and we're going to preach Christ. Do you think that doesn't bring any affliction? Right? That's their conviction. Is that ours? Right? That's what Paul's talking about. Is these things come in your life, what's going to happen? What are we going to do? Now look at your outline. Along with verse 1 and 2, let's review this. what we saw last week. Here Paul is wanting to find out about their faith. And why does he want to? Because he has an affection for others in their walk of faith. Look at verse 1 and 2. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ. Stop there. Now, can't say everything I said from last week, but adding to it, because he has this affection for others in their walk of faith, Paul simply says, I love you and I can't handle it any longer. I got to get there. I got to get back. He wants to know about their trust in God's truth. He's not wanting to know about their social status. He's not wanting to know about their economic status. He recognized that most of the New Testament churches were in poverty. He's not worried. He's worried about their walk with the Lord and their confidence in God's truth. That's the only thing that's going to carry us. Amen? That's the only thing going to get us through anything in life is the truth of God's word, who God is. Right? And so that's what he's concerned about. So he's commenting. He wants to send Timothy with this love in his heart. It's like 2 Corinthians 2:13. He has no rest for his soul or for his spirit. Love does that. Come on, parents. You got any rest for your spirit? Or your kids are struggling with the Lord? Does that connect? Right? Or how about a spouse? Same kind of thing. There's just no rest. You got to go to the God and get rest. He hasn't seen them in a while. 8 months or so. It's like 2 Corinthians 11:3, where Paul wrote to the people at Corinth, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. We have a concern for that, don't we, as a church? Do you have a concern for that as the body of Christ? That for each other, we looked at that and all the dynamic that we're responsible to be for each other and those kind of things. Do you have a concern? Hey, we need to check on each other. How are we doing? Because the enemy wants to lead you away from just a devotion to Christ and purity and simplicity. You know, all of us, because of our love for each other given to us by God, have the same concern for each other. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:29, who is led into sin without my intense concern? That works for me. How about you, Tom? How about you, Scott? Brent, Craig? Who's led into sin without our concern? And we're spending our time and our talent and our treasure. We're meeting together. We're talking about it. We're trying to be an encouragement, doing all that. Same thing for us as a church family. Nobody wants anybody led into sin. We know the Bible instructs and commands the church family to have the same concern for each other. Let's look at this a little bit. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Because I got to connect this with you, because some of the times, some of the things that come to our hard mind, well, you know, I just kind of got these people that I'm involved in, and yet you can't be involved in the body of Christ like an elder is involved or a teaching pastor that's set aside and spending time. I get it, but you have more than just your family. You have people in your life that God has called you to have the same concern. Look at it with me at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 15. Look at what it says here, and let me just, again, help us understand that the word of God instructs and commands you, the church family, to have the same concern. Listen, let me read it to you in the scripture. Verse 11, Jesus gave, and I'll just go to the end, he gave pastors, teachers. He gave you the elders of this church. He gave the pastors of the church, the teachers of the church, especially in a sense. One of the foremost would be the teaching pastor, me, the one that's preaching the word of God. He gave to the church for what? Look at verse 12. Why am I here? Why are the elders here? What are we to do? For the equipping of the saints. Equipping. So you have the equipment. So you have the ability to do. So you are provided with the truth. You're provided with the purpose of God. You're provided with the answers of God. You're provided with what God wants you to be equipped with. Look at the text. For the work of service. So you're going to be doing a work of service. That's way more than just serving in the body of Christ, that you're a greeter or usher or you work in the nursery. It's included in that, but it's way, way, way more than that. The works of service is the encouragement to each other, sharing the word of God, being the body of Christ that comes alongside and helps and all different kind of things and holding each other accountable, admonish each other. We could go to 1 Thessalonians 5:13 and 14 where Paul teaches that. It's way more than that. It's about being a church family, about being brothers and sisters in Christ, and whatever we need, and if whatever we need is confronted or helped or encouraged. Look at the last part of the verse, to the building up of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is built up two ways, salvation, sanctification. So there you go. You're to be equipped to do the work, to share the gospel, the true gospel, for God to work. And through your sharing the true gospel for salvation, God's Christ building his church through that, sanctification, for us to become more and more Christ-like. It's right in the text. He's instructed me to equip you. Now, I do all that too. But we're to do that. That makes sense? Look at verse 13. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That sounds like pretty much Christ-likeness to me. How about you? Come on, you guys, right? You interacting with the text, what God's word saying to our lives? So when I see the body of Christ struggling to be mature, God is dealing with my life. Are you teaching God's word? Are you equipping them? Are you teaching the truth of God's word and clarity to help them see those kind of things? Because he's wanting us all to participate in it. This is what goes in my life. Have we altered the truth because of affliction or temptation? We saw last week where God fell his workers. We're working together with God, each of us, to build up the body of Christ, salvation, sanctification. How do you build? I'm building right now and doing my part. Look at verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about wind by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and the deceitful scheming. So you see what God is saying. Teach the God's word, can teach exposition of God's word, teach the truth of God's word, equip you to do the work of service so we all gather to live for God's word, so we all grow in the maturity of in the stature of the person of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we're guarded against the deceptions of life, against the things in life that are trying to trick us that life's about something else. Verse 15, but speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So it's us, isn't it? Come on, guys, agree with me. Or you don't have to. I guess you don't have to agree with me. But God's word says it's us, right? It's us. It's us that are working. We're going to be a part of this. Let me ask you, so find out about your faith. That's a good question right now. My belief, my trust, my confidence, my firm persuasion in the word of God and the truth of God's word, have I compromised what Pastor Ken just preached? Have I moved away from that? Has affliction come? I'm not going to do that. Has my flesh tempted me to move away? I'm still growing in my responsibilities for the Lord. I know you are. You see what God's talking about in this text? What Paul's trying to find out? He's not just trying to find out. Do you believe in Jesus still? He's finding out about, are they walking with the Lord? Is that testimony in chapter 1 still going? Paul seeks to find out about their conviction to remain strong in God's truth concerning the building up of the body of Christ. His love prompts him to find out. And his love prompts him and stirs him and gives him a desire to strengthen and encourage them in their faith. Look at verse 2, back to 1 Thessalonians, verse 2. Look at what it says. He sent Timothy, fellow worker, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. That's what he wants to know. And what he wants to do. He wants to encourage your faith. He wants to strengthen her faith. He has a desire to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. We have that for each other. Now, as we saw last week, to strengthen is to establish or set fast your trust in God's truth, your firm persuasion. And to encourage is to encourage, to admonish, or exhort you in the truth of God's word, or with the God's word, in what it says. And it's truth about how and what we are to live and the purpose that we live for. We don't want to waver in that. You see why God says we need to come to the church? Do you see why God in this word says that's how this works? You need to come to church. You need to be under the word of God being preached on Sunday. You need to be part of the church family and the Bible studies that we got going on and all that kind of stuff, because we need to know the God's word. We need to be given the tools. We need to be equipped so these things in our life that come against us. Listen to God's word in Acts 14, verse 21-22. Paul and Barnabas go to Derbe. They preach the gospel, made many disciples. Then they return to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. If I went and told you what happened in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, and how they were persecuted, you would go, why in the world did you ever go back there? Beaten, right? Drugged through town. They went there, started a church, right? On their way from Derby, they went back to those three towns. They did the same thing after they made disciples. Why they returned to verse 22, the strength in the souls of the disciples encouraged them and continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Let me ask you, is that God's truth? Does that apply to us? Or is that, that was for them. Does that apply to us? Does that apply to the body of Christ? Or is that just for the bad special, or the beginning church? I almost said bad church, not a bad church. Or the bad people, right? Right? The Christians that needed persecuted, they were like, oh. I couldn't hold a candle to these men in their conviction of God's truth. The Word of God says, through many tribulations we must enter in the kingdom of God. Have we been tricked, deceived by the enemy that says, well, you know what? There won't be if you just honor the Lord. Has that been what we've been taught? Kind of digging right deep into the heart right now. I get it. This is what God dealt with me, and that's how he deals with his word. Two-edged sword, right? They did the same thing they sent Timothy to do. Preach God's truth. Tell them about it. Same thing you and I are to do with each other. Strengthen and encourage and trusting in God's truth. I don't want any tribulation. I don't want any afflictions. But I can tell you the word of God tells you there's a way to live that you can't have any. It isn't written. It's not the true theology of God. It's not the truth of Jesus Christ. It's not the truth of salvation. So I can't tell you that. A lot of other places will. Tell you certain ways that you do something, you'll just avoid all that. My flesh would love that too. Here's the truth. Just keep going on living for Christ, sharing the truth of the gospel no matter the consequences of tribulation. So again, we ask the question, turn your outline over. Turn your outline over. And you know what? I'm still reviewing from last week, if you guys weren't here. The rest of them are going like, that sounds kind of familiar from last week. But, you know, in my heart, I thought about maybe about five times we need to just kind of go through this. It might settle in. I don't know. But we asked the question, why? Why do this? Why from the text do we want to do this? Many reasons in Scripture, but why from right this text, right here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, why do that? Why would you have a love for others and their faith? Why would you have a desire and act upon the desire to strengthen or establish faith in God's truth from his word? Why would you want to exhort, admonish, encourage each other in the truth of God's word so as to obey his truth, become more Christ-like, share Christ? Look at verse 3 and 4. This is why. So that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed we were with you, and we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. Now that applies to Paul and his companions, it applies to this church. It goes both ways. So that you're not, or no one is, deceived, disturbed, or moved. We'll get into that word in a minute. By the tests of faith because of the affliction. I've had many tests of faith. Many times I moved. And God, through the truth of his word and conviction and through my repentance, moved me back to be even stronger. I'm going to own up with you. This isn't a flatline journey upward. It's about God working in your life. Afflictions are tests of faith. Greek word means to crush, press, or squeeze. Tribulations, trouble, distress that are from afflictions. Afflictions, like I said earlier, are an oppressive state of physical, mental, social, and economic adversity. You stand for Christ, that's what you're destined for, some more, some less. You cannot stand for Christ. You cannot share Jesus Christ. You could just be a Christian that isn't living the testimony in front of anybody, not telling anybody about the truth of Jesus Christ. There's one way to heaven, one way to be reconciled back to God, one way to be forgiven. It's through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. And I'm sorry, what you believe isn't God at all, because the Word of God says, if you believe in the Son, you can know the Father. And nobody knows the Father that doesn't believe in the Son. So any other religion that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ does not know God the Father. None. Zero. And if you got friends and family in your life that think something else, Do you love them enough to tell them the truth? Or maybe it's, do you love the Lord enough to tell them the truth? That's the word of God. We've been pushed, we've been squeezed, we've been afflicted, we've been tempted by the flesh to move away to, I don't know if God's going to save them or not. I do. So do you. He's not. He doesn't have a different plan. He doesn't have a behind plan. He doesn't have something that's not in his word, other plan that he's going to do, because people are sincere in their worship of a God that they've made up in their mind, even if it's similar to the one that's in the Bible. I might take heat for that. What do you guys think? Live stream, maybe we shouldn't show that one. This is good stuff. This is rich and ministering to our lives. It's, you know what it's here for? It's to help us pick up and move on with the Lord. That's what it's here for. We'll get more of that next week. Because of your faith in Christ and commitment to his gospel, because of you living Christ-like life in the area of his lives, in all of your lives, in any relationship, and your commitment to sharing the true gospel that confronts the sinner in their sin, afflictions come. The word of God says does. Persecution, tribulation, sufferings, and it's oppressive. It squeezes you. It squeezes your health, your social status, your economic status. Your commitment to God's truth, to live for Christ, and to share Christ can be disturbed, moved, or deceived, to be shaken from your belief. That's the word there. That's the word there. The word translated disturbed, moved, or deceived is sano in the Greek. It means to wag a tail in friendliness, like we looked at last week, like a puppy wagging its tail to draw you to compromise God's truth on how and what to live for and the purpose that we want to live for. It's like a puppy wagging its tail. You guys, hey, if a puppy came in the room, and, Jacoby, what if a puppy came in the room wagging its tail? You'd like go like, oh, come here, right? Oh, you wouldn't? I would. See, so what God is talking about in this life, and it's not easy, because you know what? You got the world, you got the enemy of God, you got Satan himself, right? You got the whole world system, and then we have our flesh, and we're going to look at that here in a minute. We have that old self, that unredeemed life that we have, that when hard things come, right, when afflictions come, the world's temptation, the enemy's temptation is like a puppy wagging his tail. Just say, hey, just go this way. It's so friendly. It's conflict. That's what he's talking about. I want to find out. I'm afraid. I have fear that the enemy came along wagging his tail and drew you away from God and the truth of his word. Connected to the puppy wagging his tail is from verse 5, the tempter tempting you to gratify your flesh. So see it this way, so that you're not deceived by the test of faith. And I did this, I came to St. Timothy because I have a fear that the tempter might have tempted you. That's what Paul says. Look at verse 5. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. So for fear the tempter might have tempted you by drawing you like a puppy wagging his tail to get you to compromise your conviction to God's truth concerning your living Christ-likeness and sharing the true gospel, and made it about gratifying yourself. Well, man, I fall in that category. Anybody want to join me? And I need God, and I need his word, and I need the body of Christ, and I need the church family to help me to come along and say, well, man, I struggle when the body of Christ falls into sin. Can I see this in your life? Let me. Oh, thank you. I might even get like, well, leave me alone. I don't want to be there. Right? We go there, right? But ultimately, we're so grateful for a brother that will come alongside, put your arm around you and say, you know what? This isn't the correct way. This is not the way God has for us. God has a different way. I'll walk with you. I'll love you. But you know what? I might have to just kind of corral you and get you to go the right way just a little bit. Remember when we learned about discipleship? The word of God is the same word translated encouraged, admonish, comfort, exhort. Same word that's in our text. It's the same word. We might need to do that with each other. So you know what that means? That means we are in each other's lives. And it's not about what we look like. You know me, I'm not concerned about what we look like. The testimony of Christ in that, but to have a testimony of Christ, you have to grow in your sanctification. To grow in your sanctification, you had to be at some places in your life not doing very well. and to God to change. So that's what it looks like. That's what my life looks like. I have to be above reproach, so immediately when it's there, I have to address it to be qualified to be in the role that God has for me. I can't let it go one day. I got to address it. But that's what our lives look like, right? So connect this. Because through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Because anyone who stands firm in the truth of God's word to live Christ-likeness lives all the time and shares the truth of the gospel. Afflictions come. The tempter will tempt your flesh like a puppy wagging its tail to compromise, disturb, move, or deceive you, your confidence in God's truth, to gratify your own flesh. It's the battle with the flesh of the believer. Turn your Bibles to Romans 7. We'll finish with this. Romans 7, verse 14 through 25. I'll go through this quickly, okay? But it's the believer's battle with the sin or with the flesh. Paul writes about it in Romans 7. Let me encourage you, as you're finding your place in Romans 7, all the verbs in Romans 7, 14 through 25 are present, active, indicatives. That means by the grammar, when Paul is writing the letter, by the grammar, which you can't change God's grammar, by the grammar, it's Paul writing and saying, active, present, indicative. It means this is what's going in my life right now at the moment as I'm writing God's word. You can't change the grammar that God wrote it in. You can interpret and say something else. You have to adulterate the grammar. That's what they taught you in seminary, 28 units of language on how the word of God, what governs the word of God. I can never believe in Romans 7 that there was anything other than when Paul was writing this, he was talking about himself right now because the grammar says it was. I don't care what the words say. I do care what the words say, but the words aren't going to change that. Okay? So this is Paul, the Apostle Paul. This is his testimony concerning being tempted not to live according to the word of God and not to share the true gospel, what we've been looking at. This is him and his temptation to sin, his testimony of battle with sin. Like I said, this is the Apostle Paul. He's a mature believer in relation to living God's holy standard. And we know he suffered great affliction in doing so. See, he'd be very familiar with what he's worried about in Thessalonica. Here's a great encouragement to us all. Is the Apostle Paul living out his walk of continued commitment, faith in God's truth as God's work of sanctification is taking place in his life? And as he writes Romans 7, what an incredible thing. You know, the Apostle Paul wasn't anywhere near Jesus either. The testimony of the Word of God, the things that we get to see in here, what God put in here, this verse right here, this little section right here shows us that the Apostle Paul says, you know, I want to follow the Lord. I have a desire to follow the Lord. My mind, I have regenerated life, born again, made again, new life, but I have this flesh that doesn't want to do what God wants to do. And you know what? Sometimes it just does what it does, and it leads my life, and it sins. That's what he's saying. The testimony of Paul. And then God deals with me and all of that kind of stuff. But we'll dig into it real quick here. So you will shore up our final thing here. Four battle cries in the text. I won't cover any of them in full. But battle cries with the flesh or with sin. Look at verse 14a. Here is the condition of the battle cry, right? Here's our battle cry, crying to the Lord. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. Here it is. It's war, guys. Get in the foxhole. Here it is. Here's the condition. For we know that the law is spiritual. Do you know that the word of God speaks to your spiritual new life in Christ? Do you know that? Come on, guys. Affirm that. Do you know the word of God talks to you about how to live your life, how to love your husband, how to love your wife, tells you how to raise your kids, tells you how to serve the Lord, tells you what gospel to share, tells you how to seek after sanctification. We know the Lord, the word of God, the law of God is spiritual, right? It speaks to my new life in Christ. That's what he's talking about, right? This is what he's talking about. God, through his word, speaking to our new lives in Christ, the born again you, tells us the truth about God, the truth about God's purpose, the truth about God's glory. God's word tells us the truth about ourselves, about his plan, about his purpose. It guides our way of sanctification. And the two things we're considering, God through his word speaks to our new life, continually commanding and instructing us about our journey in the Lord, our effort, the way of us living Christ-like lives in every relationship and helping others to do so. It speaks to our new lives in Christ, about our responsibility to tell others about the true gospel. The Word of God speaks to that, right? Amen? It speaks to your new life in Christ, spiritual. That's the first part of the condition, the battle cry. The second, look at verse 14. But I am of flesh sold into the bondage of sin. Right now, Paul, you are? Yep. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? He just said, right now, Paul still has his unredeemed flesh, the remnants of the old self, the flesh that we won't be rid of until we die or the return of Christ. That flesh is in bondage to self-gratifications. Paul's flesh, my flesh, every person's flesh, every humanity, everyone in humanity, their flesh is in slavery to sin. Every believer in their new life in Christ, in their regeneration, God has set free your new life in Christ from slavery to sin. That's salvation. That's rescue. That's redemption. That's deliverance. The whole world is set in slavery to sin. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, surrender your life to him, you get a new life in Christ, and it now is in Romans 6, right? It's a slave to righteousness, right? It wants to honor the Lord, desires to love God. God speaks to it through his word on how to live. Your unredeemed flesh doesn't listen. This is what Paul's talking about. This is the reality of our life. Every believer can choose to live for Christ in that new life and battle the flesh and its desires for self-gratification. Like Galatians 5:16, I'm paraphrasing, as a believer can walk by the Holy Spirit, leading and empowered with God's word through the Spirit, so you won't carry out the lust of the flesh. For your new life in Christ and desires to live for God and to be led by God sets its desires against the flesh and the flesh against those desires. That's the battle. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18 of chapter 7 of Romans. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. Do you know that? Do you know that? Now, where does Christ dwell in you? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Where does it dwell? It dwells in me. It dwells in my new life in Christ, the one that's going to go to heaven, the one that God's going to redeem, the one that's going to be with the Lord. This new life I have in Christ. He just said, in my flesh, no, nothing good dwells in me. So the Spirit doesn't dwell in it. The Holy Spirit doesn't. Christ doesn't. See him identify this? Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit dwells in my life. In my flesh, nothing good dwells in it. That is my flesh. And the battle will become about that. Your flesh only desires to sin. God is not going to change that. He's not teaching us how, in his word, how to change our flesh. He's teaching us how in our new life in Christ to honor his word, be obedient to it. Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. The denying is denying the flesh. That's what Paul recognizes the flesh is trying to do to his new life in Christ, corrupt the way of his new life. That's what he's trying to do. Paul describes it again in verse 23. Look at it with me. But I see a different law in the members of my body. That's his flesh. Waging war against the law of my mind. That's his new life in Christ, making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. You see the battle? My flesh desires to fulfill lust, and my mind, my new life in Christ, desires to honor God with my life and live righteously. My flesh is waging war against my new life in Christ. Look at verse 24. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? When the Apostle Paul says the body of death, listen to me, he's describing what he saw in a region of Tarsus. When someone was caught for murder, when they killed someone, were caught, and as the punishment for the crime, listen to me on this, they would take the dead body and they'd strap it to the back of the criminal, arm to arm, leg to leg, torso to torso, send it out in the city. And as that dead body corrupted, it would pus, it would infiltrate that human life, within 2 weeks, kill it. 2 weeks, kill it. When he says that, who will set me free from this body of this death? That's what Paul is recognizing the flesh is trying to do to your new life in Christ. That's what it's trying to do. Corrupt a new way of you. Here's mine. His name is Darth. I did this January, February 2018 when I preached Romans 7. This is it. This is my flesh. His name is Darth. You guys want to say hello to him? He doesn't listen to Christians. The only one that cannot can deny him is me. And God doesn't speak to him either. Because God speaks to me and tells me to deny him. But this is my flesh. It's strapped to me. It's strapped to my back as I'm incarcerated in it. Everyone is. You are. Every believer in Christ is this. You have this dead things strapped to your back. It wants to go that way. God wants you to go this way. See, when I turn this way, it doesn't want to go God's way. It wants me to turn around, and he wants me to go this way. It never wants to do anything else. God just said, you just deny it. You can't teach it. You can't make it holy. You can't. It's you that walks with the Lord, your new life in Christ. You're to follow Christ. The enemy, the tempter's coming in saying, hey, you need to listen to this guy. This is the happy place in life. This is where it all happens right here. The flesh that I'm strapped to doesn't listen to God. God speaks to me, the new me, not to my flesh. The world, the tempter, speaks to my flesh, tempting me to listen to my flesh and ignore God speaking to me through his word. Now, from 1 Thessalonians, Paul is concerned that when afflictions come and tribulations come, tempting you, from you standing for the truth of the gospel and sharing it, when you come and when they come, there's oppression that comes from that to your health, social, economic adversity. Because of your commitment to God, the truth of living for Christ, the tempter may tempt you to live for Darth Vader's desires. Did it get any clearer than that? That's the battle. Romans 7, Paul wrote it about, it was his, and it's ours. This is what's going on. Paul knows what's going on. He knows it's happening. None of us battle this perfectly, but as you do, sanctification takes place. As you grow in your faith, you grow in your conviction to the truth, you grow in your firm persuasion to God's truth, you grow in your Christ-likeness, you mature and grow in your sharing of the gospel, you grow in denying your flesh. The word of God isn't written to talk to this guy at all. None of it. Wow. All of that stuff out there that's talking about gratifying your flesh, that's in the church, that's in the, and all that stuff, wrong. John 7 says the devil speaks to this one, that God speaks to this one. John 8, I mean. And Jesus said, and you didn't hear my words, because you're of your father, the devil. You're not of my father. And the father, the devil, speaks to you. That's the only ones you hear. Our new life in Christ hears God. Right? Find out about your faith. Next week, we'll look at those in Thessalonica about it, but now, where are you? Simply, are you following the flesh or following Christ? As I've lived my life with the Lord, that became more and more identifiable in my life, and I am grateful. Because some things I didn't know I was, and that. Is the tempter tempting you to say, hey, don't have to live a Christ-like life. You don't have to really share the gospel. That keeps affliction, tribulation, conflict, persecution away. Keeps those things away. You don't really have to stand for Christ in the midst of your family or your friends or your community or your job. You don't really have to tell other people about it. You know, we don't want to be offensive. We want to season with salt, speech that cares about others, right? We want to do all of that. But it never tells us don't say it because of it. I mean, just look at your life. Has anybody in the last 4 months, have you told them the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we can go through the Word of God and continue like that. That's not the pattern in Scripture. It was every week. And God was building his church. It was Ukraine, wasn't it? I mean, if you're in Ukraine and you're standing in the airport and you're telling people about Christ and three or four people are believing right then and now, or were you going somewhere else and didn't have time to see that somebody needed the Lord? Look at verse 24 and 25 as we close in Romans 7. Wretched man that I am, who has set me free from this body of death. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only way to be set free from this guy. To him lean your life. He'll rescue us in the battle. He'll set us free from following the flesh. God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We follow Jesus Christ. It's always about our lives being surrendered to Christ. It never gets away from that in Scripture. Never, never gets away from it. It's always about our submission to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to James 1:17. It says this, don't be deceived, you guys. Don't be deceived. Talked about sin previously, but listen to James 1:17. It says this, don't be deceived, church. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. right? There's no variation. It's not hidden. It's not over here in the darkness. You kind of do this, that, and it might come about. No, it's right there, plain in front of you. Every good thing given, every perfect gift is from God and God alone. Every good thing, every perfect gift is from the Father. As we seek to follow Christ and honor his word, it's all from him. Nothing is ever coming from this guy. They'll be deceived. You're not receiving good gifts from God. You're not receiving perfect gifts from God. You're not receiving good things given from God when you're following this guy. You will never be. The tempter will say, yeah, follow this guy, and you'll have what you... It never comes. It never comes. It never happens. Because God has declared it's from him and him alone. That's what Paul is concerned about. Paul sent Timothy to find out where they were in their faith. We seek the same thing, right? I'm going to take this guy off to pray because it seems kind of a little hypocritical. Even though he's still there. But such a visual, right? I'm trying to get where Darth is way over here, right? And I'm living my life over there. Father, we come before you in a heart of gratitude and thankfulness for your word of God that teaches us clearly and affirms your truth. And it tells us the life that we're living in and how to go forward and the hope that we have and the encouragement from it. And it admonishes, encourages, comforts our life when we're worried about certain things. It does all that it does. It's because it's from you. It's the revelation. It's God. God speaking to our lives. The truth of it matters. Because if you get the truth wrong, you don't have God's word. You just got the word of man. Word of man's no help. Word of man can't accomplish anything. But deceiving and deception, just like sin. Only you and you alone, Lord, can speak to our lives about what is true, what is real, what is happening, the way we live, who you are, why you came, what you did, about the salvation that we have in Christ. No condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That's such a great verse in chapter 8. And it says this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Thank you for that word. The law of sin and death is not what we're bound to anymore. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ is what we are what we're bound to, even though we have this flesh. We thank you for ministering to us today through the songs and through the sharing and through the reading of Scripture, through the pastoral prayer, through your word. It's you and you alone, Lord. We just praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.